Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Let's read together. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that we in this country have to freely hear the Word of God preached. God, let us not take that for granted. Father, we do ask this morning as we hear the Word of God that we would ask that you would speak to our hearts. Help us, as they sing, be willing to do whatever you tell us to do this morning. God, we pray that if there's one in this room, and I know you're telling them that they need to accept Christ as their Savior for the forgiveness of their sins, I pray they'd do that today. And then finally, Father, I ask that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for this task ahead. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Do you want to check on your comfort this morning? Are you too cold? Raise your hand, two cold people. How many are too warm? It's too warm in here. How many are all right? Everything's fine. How many even forgot to raise your hand? All right, there we go. No problem. I want you to notice Exodus 20 and verse number 7. It's part of what is called the Ten Commandments. It is the second of the Ten Commandments. And it says we're not supposed to take God's name in vain. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. We live in a profane society today. Profane. People without proper education that seem to not be able to communicate in the English language. So then they use this language of the gutter and the street. You can't sit in a public place, walk around in a public place today without somebody having to spew filth and profanity out of their mouth. The Bible attaches, and I want you to notice the wording of this verse, the Bible attaches a particular guiltlessness that's not capable. You cannot, God will not hold you guiltless if you take His name in vain. There's something about cussing God that God does not appreciate. I suppose you understand that, don't you? You don't like it when someone insults you, when they use your name in an improper fashion or an improper manner. Imagine the Creator of the universe, a holy, righteous, just God who gets His name used in profanity. God says, I will not hold them guiltless for that. Now, I believe you can be forgiven, but God holds something against the person who uses His name in vain. There's something there that God does not let go. And so I would highly recommend you not cuss God. I would highly recommend you not use the name Jesus Christ in any way but a respectful manner. You know what always interests me is people don't ever say, oh, Satan. They never use the devil. They don't. Oh, Satan. They never say that. No, they got to put God in there. They got to say Jesus' name. They got to cuss the name of the one whose name should be exalted and lifted up. Now, the subject this morning is not preaching against cussing God. I just wanted to put that in there to get your attention this morning. Because this verse also says something else to us. It has to do, the word vain in the Bible means emptiness, worthlessness, and of no value. The Bible says, do not take the name of God without value and worth to it. For the next three Sunday mornings, we're going to make sure we honor Exodus 20 and verse number 7. We're not going to take God's name in vain. I'm going to preach to you some messages on the name of God. Now, I want you to listen to me. Do you know that in the Old Testament, there are 21 different usages for the name of God in the Old Testament alone? There are a few more in the New Testament, but we're going to concentrate on the names of God in the Old Testament. But you can take those names of God in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, and you break them down, and what they mean tells us three things about God. It tells us who He is. It tells us what He does. And it tells us what He means to us. Now, everybody here has more than one name. You have your name, your proper name. The full name is only used by your parents. Correct? No one ever calls me Michael Ray except my mom or my grandmother or a loved one of mine when I'm about to get it. Other than that, they don't call me Michael Ray. No one else calls me Michael Ray Johnson. And when she used the full name, Michael Ray Johnson, I guess you want to remind me I did belong to her. I guess she was about to send me out of this world, so she wanted to remind me who I was right before I went out. Michael Ray Johnson! That was trouble. That was no good thing came after that. She never said, Michael Ray Johnson, come and have cookies. Never. It was Michael Ray Johnson, you had it, boy. And that's the way it went. We all have a name, but then I have other names by which I go. Call me preacher or pastor. People come to church and they're new and they say, what are we? Don't call me reverend. I don't like the name reverend. I've never liked that name. It's an official title that got stuck to Protestant preachers, and I'm not a Protestant, I'm a Baptist. And the name reverend means one who instills fear, and that's not my job, that's God's job. Though I'll probably scare you half to death before the sermon's over today. But blame God for that one. Reverend is too formal of a title. What people want to call me, Scott will call me pastor or preacher. Preacher is a southern expression they use for their pastors in the south. And they call them preacher. That's a good thing. I'm a preacher. That works for me. So you can call me pastor, you can call me preacher, call me Brother Johnson, whatever the case may be. I don't encourage people to call me by my first name. I'm nobody, but I do magnify my office as a pastor. And so I encourage you to do that. You call me Mike, I'm not going to kick you in the shins. But here's the thing. I have other names by which I go. Honey. Honey's a good name. You can't call me Honey either. I don't want any guy calling me Honey. There's no question about that. Hey, Honey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Must have been in the Navy. But anyway, here's the thing. Don't call me. There's only one who calls me Honey. And that's that lady right there, second row, first chair. She calls me Honey. Kids call me Dad. We all have different names. Now, that's the same person. But do you understand the difference? That when they use a particular name. I have nicknames for all of my kids. I usually nickname people that get close to me. I give them nicknames. Anyway, I'm going to go into all the nicknames I have for my children. But I usually use nicknames for people because it's a different way of expressing something personal with them. God's names do not tell us that He's a different God. It tells us something different about Him. Now, people look at me, and we don't need to take the name of God in vain. That doesn't mean more than don't cuss Him. There's certainly, I think that's the primary emphasis of the verse. It means don't take the name of God lightly. Because the name of God tells us who He is. Don't call Him the old man up there and the big man in the sky. Don't use those vulgar expressions of God. He's not old, He's eternal. There is a major difference between the two. He's not just the big guy in the sky. He's a lot bigger than the sky He created it. Don't use gross vernacular and crude vernacular when you talk about God. How do they got to call the president George? Mr. Bush, he's the president. There is a respect that comes from using the name properly in so doing. Now, and folks come to our church here, I have a hard time calling you by your first name. I have people who've asked me, please call me by my first name. So I'll do that. I'll try to work on it. Other than that, your brother so-and-so or Mrs. so-and-so or something like that. I think there's a respect to it. You don't like it, you don't want me to do it, I won't. You give me your first name and I'll work on it. Amen, George? I'll work on your first name and get it right. But here's the thing. People, the name that we call God is not only the name by which we know Him, it tells us who our God is to us. 21 different usages of the name of God, but they fall under a few categories. And I want to talk to you this morning about the most commonly used name for God in the Bible, and it's two letters, E-L or L, the name of God in the Hebrew. That name in the Bible is used 2,900 times for God in the Old Testament. And it means the all-powerful one. Means the mighty God. El. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God. And that name there is Elohim, and we'll explain to you what that means in just a moment. But in the names in the Bible, oftentimes when they name places or people, they would put the name El at the beginning or the end of that person's name, Ezekiel or Israel. And it had to do with attaching God's name to their name. Daniel. And that last two letters speak of God. But it speaks of God as an all-powerful God, an almighty God, a God of limitless strength and ability. Can I ask you this morning, dear people, is He El to you this morning? Is He God to you today? Is He the Almighty God? Is He the powerful God? Is He the God of unlimited strength and ability in life? And this name, God, in the Bible, Proverbs 18 and verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is saved. I don't know about you today, dear people, but the dependence for our security and our strength and our confidence in life needs to come from God. God's strength, God's might, God's power, God's ability. We're way too dependent on ourselves now. We're way too dependent on the arm of flesh to save us and strengthen us. We're way too dependent on the government. And we're way too dependent on others. And we're way too dependent on our friends. And we're way too dependent on our money. And we're way too dependent on our jobs. And we're way too dependent on our sustained material wealth. And we're way too dependent on our economies. We ought to be dependent on God, the Creator of everything. Almighty God, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But we do when we don't depend on Him like we should. We do when we depend on others instead of Him. We do when we put Him over in the corner and we call Him like a dog when we want Him. Okay, God, come over here now. I need Your help with something. Now go back over there and leave me alone. I got things I want to do with my life. That's taking God's name in vain. That's just treating God like you treat people. Like so many people today, they just use people. They get out of them what they want, they throw them aside, and they push them aside. We started treating God like that now. Well, when I need something, boy, then I'm a praying man. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm telling you, I need something. When the truth of the matter is, our attitude in life should be, He's Almighty God to me. He's the Creator. He's the one who makes things. He is the source of my strength and help in life. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous runneth into it and is saved. People will tell me, I have a relative who's an unsaved man. He's an America basher. He hates this country. And every time we get a chance to sit down and talk, he'll make some enough cracks about America until I can't take it anymore, and then we get into it. He's lived here for 40 years as an immigrant from Germany, and now he's still bashing America 40 years later on. While he lives in a nice house in San Francisco, lives comfortably, and he made that in America, not in Germany, by the way. And he's always crashing this country. The other thing is, he's always trying to crash religion in the Bible. He can tear religion up all he wants to, but when it comes to the book, you can't mess with that. And the worst thing is, he'll make this comment. That's the trouble with you religious people. Your God's just a crutch to you. And I said, you have them. Somebody's propping you up. Something props you up. I'm not ashamed to admit for 1 minute this morning, my God is my strong tower. And I run to Him and find safety there. That's right, dear people. No, Mike Johnson can't take it all by himself. No, I can't stand on my own. I can't make it on my own. I have to have God help me. I'm thankful for a God who's all-powerful and He is almighty. The name El in the Bible is broken down into several compound forms. There's the name El or Him. That's in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, God. That name means plurality in one. Did you know, as we taught in my Sunday school class this morning, that God is one in three? He's one God in three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's the Trinity. God's functioning work in this world. That is God as He is. See, as I told my class this morning, I can't explain it to you. I can't make it so you can understand it. I can't break it down so you can grasp the knowledge of how the Trinity is. How God can be one and yet three persons in one. How they're separate and yet equal. How they function together and yet have their own personality. How is it there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, yet that's one person? Can't explain it to you. Refuse to attempt a good effort. Because I refuse to bring God down to the finite level of this peanut mind here this morning. I'll forget this reasoning stuff about God. Let me tell you something. He's Elohim. You understand that? He's a plurality in one. But Elohim means Creator God. That's why I used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Settled it. We don't have to wonder about evolution. We don't have to worry we'll go to the zoo and throw peanuts to our relatives. We didn't climb from a lower life form to a higher life form. We were created a higher life form. When God formed us from the dust of the earth and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, we were created in the likeness and the image of God. Not monkeys, not dogs, not chickens. We were made in the image of God. Elohim God, Creator God. And that's sad today that they have to, now they have to call it being created by, what is this word expression they're using now? Higher intelligence. They can't even say God anymore. What a shame. Shame on you, America. Shame on you, country. When you can't give credit to the one who spun the stars to their courses, formed the rivers by his fingers, pushed the mountains up by his hands, put the universe in its place. Shame on you, America. When we have to get around a bunch of liberal mealy mouths and we can't say God made it the way it is. That's Elohim God. He's the creator God. And by the way, God doesn't make stuff. God creates things. Creation means to make something from nothing. You look around you this morning. There's the creative work of God sitting next to you in these chairs today. But the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everybody in this room that's a child of God is a new creation in Jesus Christ. We were hell-bound sinners and now we're heaven-bound saints. Doesn't that sound insane to you? And we didn't do it because we crawled in the tank and got wet. We didn't do it because we joined a church. We did it because we bowed a simple knee in repentance of faith and turned to Christ and accepted Him as our personal Savior. Simply trusted Christ and got saved. And God made us a new creation. That's the Elohim work of God. That's the creative work of God. That's God making something from nothing. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Elohim. There's another name for God in the Bible with this name. El is called El Olam. Eternal God. It means this. El Olam. Eternal God. Everlasting God. Let me put it to you how we can understand it this morning. The God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what I like about God? He's always God. He's always God. I don't have to wonder if He was ever a woman who became a man. I don't have to wonder about that. I don't have to wonder about God being a man one day who became a God someday. He has always been who He is and will always be who He is. I like that. That's consistency. Amen? I don't have to wonder about Him. It wasn't Buddha. It wasn't Muhammad. It's not Islam's God. It's not the God of all the religions of this world. It's not their God and our God. No, He's God. He's El Olam. He has always been, will always be, and has always been God. There was never a time when God did not exist. You say, where did God come from? Can't answer the question because God didn't come from anywhere. We came from God. That's the difference, you understand. Listen to me. He is everlasting God. Now, if you're wondering how God feels about things in a changing day, I can tell you, I am the Lord, God said. I am the Lord. I change not. That's a wonderful thought, but it's also a very confining thought. It's a restricting thought, because that means this. God hadn't changed His mind about anything. God hadn't said, you know what? I think I've changed my mind about adultery. I think I've changed my mind about fornication. I think I've changed my mind about homosexuality. I think I've changed my mind about lying. Well, you shouldn't lie, but if you're Martha Stewart, wear the bracelet, you're good to go. Hey, God doesn't change His mind about things. Lying is lying. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. Good is good. Bad is bad. High is high. Low is low. Heaven there, hell's there, and God's the same. El Olam, the eternal, everlasting, never changing, amazing God today. He's El Elyon. That means God Most High. El Elyon. Dear people, we've got to do this now. We've got to understand that we respect the right of all religions to believe what they want to believe. That's an American quality. By the way, which is not granted to you in other countries. We who grant the Muslims the right to believe what they want to when they come to this country, we can't go to their countries and get the same right. Can't get that. They love that. They love it. Many of them use the freedoms and liberties of this nation against us in this country. But you know something, dear people? You want to put a Hindu temple in this town? Build your Hindu temple in this town. They have a right to do so. This is America. They have the right to freedom of worship as they deem and seem fit. Our forefathers intended that in this country, not to allow heathenism in this nation, but to allow freedom of religion in this country. But let's also make sure we're very careful about this. There is no God like God. He is El Elyon. That means most high and exalted. Buddha is a statue with his little belly sticking out there that you rub when you come out of the Chinese restaurant. Don't do that. That you rub when you come out of Chinese restaurants to get luck. That's Buddha. He's a statue. He's a pile of boxes. He's a box. He's an ashtray is what he is now. Because they incinerated him, put his ashes in a box. And Muhammad was a prophet. And he's a piece of jerky wrapped in an old piece of linen cloth lying over on a stone somewhere in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. That's what he is. All these leaders have come, gone, and they proclaimed themselves as gods or deity or exalted themselves, but there's El Elyon. Above all of that, in another status, in another category, in another place, is the Creator, Almighty Elohim God, El Elyon. He is high and lifted up. Don't cuss his name. Honor his name. Respect his name. Revere his name. Honor the name of God today, El Elyon. He is the Most High, Exalted One. He is El Roy, not R-O-Y, R-O-I. El Roy is the name for God. That means this. The God who sees me. That's a good title for Him. Because God sees you. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, the Bible says. Beholding the evil and the good. It's interesting talking with young people. And their attitude, some of them, some, not all, but some of them say, as soon as I can get out of my parents' house, get away from them watching me all the time, my life's going to be better. Bad news. Your parents won't see you. God will always see you. Everywhere you go, everything that you do. Now that's one of those good, bad things. It's good. God always sees. Pastor Johnson, I'm going to work and I'm trying to honor God and do what's right. And I'm about the only person who seems to care where I work. And sometimes, it just gets a little lonely. El Roy, God sees. Pastor Johnson, my family just doesn't want to do right. They don't want to honor God with their life. But I'm trying to honor the Lord by what I do. It doesn't seem like there's anybody but me. El Roy, God sees. God sees and He knows. That's a wonderful thing. You do right and nobody pays attention to it. God did. He never misses it. The Bible tells us He notes the sparrows fall, numbers the hairs on our head. Some of us are giving Him less time in that area. We thank You for that. But He numbers the hairs on our head. He watches out for everything. God sees. Elroy, God sees us. Listen to me. And you be not, America needs to wake up and God's people need to wake up to Elroy, God. We need to realize God sees us. Yeah, but nobody saw me when I sat down at that computer. Yes, God saw you. You listen to me. You shared that with Him. God heard what you heard. God sees what you see. God listens to what you speak. He sees and knows. El Roy, that's God. See, listen to me now. It's wonderful to have an all-powerful God. And it's wonderful to have an almighty God. And it's wonderful to have an exalted God. It's wonderful to have a God who never changes. But you need to know Him as the God who also sees everything that we do. El Roy, God sees. The name of God is El Eloh Israel. That's the God of Israel. I thought to myself, now wait a minute, God. That's a wonderful name in the Bible, but that means He's the God of Israel. And He is the God of Israel. But wait a minute. Do you know why He wants us to know that today in our time? Because God made certain promises to Abraham and his descendants, the nation of Israel. And God put His name behind those promises. The God of Israel. Because He wants to remind us today, every promise He made to Israel, God is going to keep those promises. They're not going to destroy this world. Oh, watch out for the nuclear attack. They're going to destroy the earth and melt it down. They're not going to do that. God's going to take care of this earth. Because part of it belongs to Israel and their descendants. They're going to get what God promised them. We're not going to blow it up. So all you anti-nuke people can go ahead and get a job and a bath and a haircut. It'll just take care of things for you amazingly. The truth of the matter is, God made a promise and they're not going to destroy the world because He promised part of it to Israel. When He reminds us His name is the name of the God of the house of Israel, He's reminding us, I kept my promises to them. And He's reminding us, I keep my promises to you too. So when Jesus said, in My Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go there to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That was a promise He made 2,000 years ago, that He was going to make us a place in heaven, come back and take us there. That's a promise. The God of Israel is behind that promise. He's going to keep that one. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God's keeping that promise too. There are 5,000 plus promises in the Bible. See, how are those things going to all come to pass? God gave His Word. And you don't have to have a lawyer to back it up. God gave His Word. He will keep His promises. The God of Israel promises. El Shaddai in the Bible, listen to this, is the God who is sufficient for every need. He not only knows and sees, He is capable of taking care of that need in life. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now that's not a blank check. That's not a credit card with an unlimited credit limit on it. That's God simply saying He has the ability and the means by which to take care of the need in your life. That means he who sees it then has the ability to back up the need and take care of it. El Shaddai is an amazing name in the Bible. It literally means in the Hebrew, the God of the mountains. They had a respect for mountains there and an understanding. If you've ever seen many of the mountains in Israel, they're jagged peaks. They look a lot like the Castle Crags up here going toward Mount Shasta. They always had an idea in their thinking because of Moses and Mount Sinai, you know, when Charlton Heston comes down off the mountain with the tables of stone. They always think that God's up there on top of these mountains. But when God came down, Moses came down from the mountains and God came down and met with His people, He took care of the needs of their life. He saw to it that the shoes never wore out and their clothes never got raggedy. And they had bread in front of their tent every morning and water from rocks when necessary. And quails came in the camp in the evenings. When they came to oceans, He parted them. When they came to rivers, He rolled them back. When they came to cities that were unconquerable, He knocked the walls down. He chased people out of cities in the promised land, chased them out of the city, and left crops growing in the field, fruit on the trees, vegetables in the gardens, and dinner cooking on the stove. Incredible how God took care of His people. That's the El Shaddai God. Well, that's not working for me, Pastor Johnson. Let me tell you something. I'm having to scratch and claw and make every nickel I can. I'm doing it on my own. See, that's your problem. Your problem is you're not dependent on El Shaddai. You're dependent on yourself. You're dependent on God. You rob Him of the tithe. You rob Him of the offerings. You wonder why you struggle financially when you're not just trusting God. There's, see, look at me. There's this thing about tithing that's called faith. If you're having a hard time making it on 10 tenths, give a tenth of it to God and see how much better you do. That's faith. It's called El Shaddai. God comes in and does what you can't do. And it's better to work it. And by the way, He prospers it much greater. El Shaddai. And the last one this morning is Emmanuel. We know that one. That's Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 and Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 7, 14, excuse me. When it says in the Old Testament prophecy, they cried that God would come to be with us. Emmanuel means God with us. Then you go to Matthew chapter 1. And when the angel comes and presents to Joseph that Christ would be born, and that child that his espoused wife Mary carried in her body, that child would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now listen to me this morning. Listen. I'm so thankful for Almighty God, all-powerful God, everlasting God, eternal God, El Shaddai, take care of every need God. Yes, I'm even thankful for a God who sees, El Roy. I'm thankful for that God. That helps me in my life. It reminds me someone's always watching that knows everything. That's a good thing. I'm glad for a high exalted, lifted up God. But the most important and special thing to me about God is Emmanuel. That means God here with us. Right here. No, not just exalted and lifted up. That's his name and His position. As to God's person, God walks among us now. He wants to be here with us now. Don't you love these cool mornings when it hits autumn like this? After the blast furnace we had this summer, which is every summer in Reading, get used to it. Some of you have been here for 25 years, you still can't figure it out. It gets hot in Reading, okay? That's just the way it goes. God did that to chase the tourists off. Keeps all the people from L.A. from moving up here. It's not working. They're all coming by droves. But the truth, and if you're from L.A., we love you. We're glad you're here. But the truth of the matter is, it gets hot. And you know that change. Did you notice the day it turned fall, the day before was almost 100. That day was 80-something. And it just turned on a dime. And all of a sudden you get these cool, fresh mornings. And then you start to look out and there God begins to change the colors on the trees. The Chinese pistachio and the liquid ambers are the first ones to go. And they start to change color. And those are the most magnificent ones, I think. And then the oak trees begin to change. And God takes out His brush of omnipotence. And He begins on the canvas of His creation to do His most majestic work. And then those soft, cool breezes start to blow. And you sit out on the back porch while you're barbecuing steaks. Oh man, doesn't that sound good? And the aroma of roasting flesh. See, that doesn't sound good. It sounds good to me. I'm slobbering right now thinking about it. The aroma of grilling on a cool day. See, in the summer, you don't even have to turn on the barbecue and ready. You just open the lid and put the steak on there. Cooks itself. You don't have to waste gas. Now the cool weather comes, and God sends those soft breezes that begin to blow, and the leaves start to come off the trees, and then you realize you haven't got any kids at home, and you're going to have to rake all them stupid things up by yourself. But you don't think about that for long. You take your fence down, let it blow your neighbor's yard, put it right back up. And God turns the blast furnace of the summer into those cool autumn days. Listen to me. And it's as if He reached down and just put His hand on your cheek for a moment. And there's a respite there. It's Emmanuel. It's God with us. You open your Bible. You say, man, Lord, I got so much on my mind today. I got a broken heart this morning, God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you read Psalm 23 again, but this time, you know Psalm 23 is different when you have a broken heart. It's a different passage of Scripture. Then all of a sudden you see Emmanuel, He's there with us. Don't take the name of God in vain, dear people. Please don't. He's right here with us now. He gave us His Word. He gave us His Son. Did you know when you receive Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ comes to live within you? The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Him with you now. Do you, as a Christian, do you know the presence of God in your life on a day-by-day basis? Is He Emmanuel as well as the Almighty God? Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.